Could you imagine what it's like to run for 24 hours straight? Well, maybe some of you can in the running community. I certainly couldn't. I know a half marathon, even a full marathon, is a challenge for a lot of people, but it wouldn't be for someone like Dave Proctor. Dave grew up in Calgary. He's a massage therapist by trade, and he's probably could be considered a superhero by night. Dave runs a marathon just about every morning. I'm not sure how long that streak was. He set out to run across Canada in record time. He has some world records. He runs 24-hour ultra marathons on a regular basis. It's astounding what he's been able to accomplish, and I'm so grateful he took the time to share some of his information and details. He sounds like a regular guy. He's down to earth. He has fun with running, like many runners do, but it's very unique, his story, what he's able to do, how his body's able to hold up, and I'm so grateful I'm able to share that story with you. So I hope you enjoy. This is Drew, and you're listening to the Transformations Through Running podcast. Why don't you start out with what you mainly do? Is that a massage therapy, or do you run for a living?
Oh no! I definitely don't run for a living. I'm a hack like most other runners out there. No, I'm a massage therapist full time. I work 4 days a week, and I just run in the spare time.
And so how you're running quite often?
Yeah,
you bet. Lot of spare time.
Yeah, well, the kids go down to bed and you got to get out and do something. Otherwise, I would be watching way too much Netflix, right?
Before we get into your running, your specific running, is there anything massage wise that you specialize in?
Yeah, well, a lot of the time, massage therapists seem to give the treatment that they would most likely best want to receive. So my type of treatment is heavy therapeutic sports treatments. That's why I work at the Downtown Sports Clinics and the Diamond Valley Chiropractic Clinic out here in Black Diamond, is because I want to work on athletes. I want to work on, and not just athletes, but also people who are dealing with soft tissue related injuries, who are frustrated with the process and just want the job done. And they'll say, okay, I'll do whatever I need to do during this hour to get through this dysfunction and pain. And, it's goal-oriented treatment. You know, we get to the point and we treat. And a lot of the time, massage therapists, physiotherapists, chiropractors normally mirror their lives within their treatment. And I think that's pretty safe to say when it comes to my treatment.
What, you hold a number of different records for the Canadian, I'll let you explain it, but tell me about, I'm going to talk about arrogance, because I think that at times athletes get a bad rap for being too arrogant.
Yeah.
Although I would say that comes from non-athletes, if that's fair to say, because I think that if you want to be the best in your field, if you want to strive and continue to get better, you need to carry some type of arrogance. How do you feel about that?
Well, arrogance is and I'll use that term as well too, because, I'll be in my own head, and sometimes arrogance is okay as long as you keep it to yourself, and there are certain people who can do that very, very, very well. But there's also, I think socially, I think we use the term, confidence, because you have to know that you have it. Every race that I've gone into, you have to know that you are going to exceed your expectations. And if it's reasonable, you're going to win this race, or you're going to break that record, or you can't have any self-doubt. Self-doubt in this sport, because it is really that hard, will run you over, back up, and run you back over again. I mean, you are going to be given so many opportunities in this sport of ultramarathoning to fail, and to be within your head at that moment where you're really struggling, and for you to say, yeah, I knew I never had it in the first place. And if you're in that, if you even go there slightly, if you're going there beforehand, the race, if you go there slightly during that race, you are done. Manifest destiny. You will create, or you'll say, I can't do this. And guess what? Done. You're done. You walk off the course, because you will not succeed at this event.
What's it like to run for 24 hours? Do you get that question often?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because it's not normal. Most people run 5 and 10K races. Very few people extend past that and run half marathons, and then a very, very small segment of the population complete marathons. you know, in my last 24-hour event, I completed over 6 marathons back to back to back to back. And so it's, you know, people normally complete a marathon and want to fall over and die. But really, my response to them is, and my answer to them is, but that was in their mind before that they started that race. Whatever's in your head, you will do. I love this study. There was a study done years ago, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic, where they went to this control group and they told them, you're going to run for half an hour. And they put heart rate monitors and sweat gland detectors and all these things onto them. And 20 minutes in, 25 minutes in, their heart rate started rising and sweat glands and on and so forth. And then they showed up the next week and they said, okay, now you're going to run for 1 hour. And they started running and it went past that half an hour mark, easy peasy. No problems. No heart rates were spiking. And it was simply because their heads were fixated on that hour. And, you know, if you were to say, I'm going to run 42.2 kilometers, guess what? 35 kilometers in, your heart rate's going to spike. Everything's going to go to pot. But if you say, I'm going to go and run 250 kilometers, you know what? You're going to run right past that 42.2 kilometer mark and right past that 100 kilometer mark and right past that 100 mile mark, and you will be fine.
Tell me about some of the struggles, you know, what it's like. I mean, I entirely understand it's mental and it's a mental game that you're running, but there must be some type of mental struggles or blocks that you come through by running that long. I haven't run that long. I'll tell you that right now.
Absolutely.
What's going through your mind at difficult stages within a 24-hour run?
Well, I think that the number one thing that will normally lead you to success by running 24 hours is having done it before. You know, I think that, you know, the number one thing that you can do to boost confidence is know very well that you've done it before. You stood at the finish line and you weren't dead. In fact, you felt more alive than what you've ever felt before. You know, throughout the whole 24-hour process, there will be these walls that seem, you know, insurmountable at the time. And a lot of the time, I think you come up to these walls, the 100-kilometer mark, 100-mile mark, and let's say it's an issue with fueling. You haven't been eating enough, or you haven't been drinking enough, or your pace is off, or something is, or mentally you're struggling. You know, I always give myself a timeline, and I'll say, you know what, I'm not going to quit right now. I'm not going to slow down right now. But I'm going to give myself, I'm going to look at my watch, I'm going to give myself a half an hour. And if I still feel this bad or worse in a half an hour, I'll pull the plug. But I know that there's a wall right here. And I know by me running this half an hour, I'm going to leap over this wall. And I'll probably look back and think, how did I even think that I was going to fail back there? Because now you're on the other side of the wall and you're fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, how long does it take roughly to run 24 hours? How long would the distance would that be?
You know, most runners are running that 24-hour distance time period in 120 to 140 kilometers. A lot of people, a lot of ultramarathon friends of mine, their goal is to run 100 miles. You know, that's kind of the common number that everybody kind of tries to succeed is, you know, 100 miles in 24 hours. So that's 161 kilometers. Canada's best women and men are normally coming close to 180 to 100 or 200 kilometers. So by me pushing, you know, that number up to 257 kilometers, yeah, I feel pretty confident and feel pretty proud of that number. I would love to one day bump it up to 260, but, yeah, no, you know, to run an extra 100 kilometers on top of the 100 mile, you know, perceived, you know, excellent number. I feel pretty confident about that.
And tell me about what it's like after a 24-hour run. What does your body feel like after running for that long?
Exhausted and thirsty for a beer. and maybe a plate of pizza and no. I remember in Italy when I collapsed at the end of the 24-hour race, there's a 1 minute gunshot that goes off and you're given one more minute. That's a warning that if there's a guy right in front of you, go get him. Or if there's a guy behind you, don't let him get you. And then 1 minute later, and that minute seems to last forever. And that minute later, and of course, there's screaming fans along the way, that gun goes off again. And I remember looking up and seeing everybody as if like one gunshot went off and one bullet went through everyone's chest and everybody just collapsed to the ground like a dead heap. And I remember lying on the ground, covered in a Canadian flag. And I don't know why, but I was just bawling like a baby. I was I was proud, but I was just also, I think, just so happy to be done this stupid thing because it hurt so bad during the last moments. And I didn't have to, I had to get up to somehow get to the finish line. My wife was there waiting for me, or, you know, where she was set up. But there was no rush. And the only rush was to drink a beer. Although 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, even though you're up for 24 hours, I think that's okay. I'll give myself a pass on that one. But it's an extremely emotional experience where you don't know what's up and what's down, but you just want to hug and kiss everybody. It was one of the neatest moments of my life.
Just mentally, physically exhausted.
Absolutely. To a degree that I've never felt before.
And what kind of pain in the next days that come, what kind of pain do you experience from your, and tell us about, walk me through it. Is your knees, your ankles, what is it? What's going on there?
Well, everything. I don't think that there's any gap between any one tissue in your body at this point. I think that there's, you're bound up to a degree that, you know, you just, the idea of movement hurts. But then movement, once you get going, you can stay moving, but then you realize, wow, I just can't stop. It's amazing. You're dreadfully hungry. You will start eating and then you're full because I think your stomach shrinks throughout the event. And, but then within 2 or 3 minutes, you're dreadfully hungry again. Trying to find that food that's going to fill you up as well too. Your mouth is a little bit burnt from all the breathing the day before. So it does hurt to eat. And then you're painfully tired at times. You say, oh, I just want to sleep. And then you fall asleep for an hour. And then you wake up and you're awake and you're so angry because you want to just sleep. So it is a process. It will take days, if not weeks, to get feeling relatively normal again.
And is this because of the drain on your body, or does it have a lot to do with your sleep patterns being up for so long?
I'm not sure if it has too much to do with your sleep patterns because it's just the one night. I have a lot of friends who do these 6-day adventures, and supposedly the sleep patterns really mess up with them, that they're really, really hooped for a while. But the one day sleep pattern, I don't know if it's the sleep pattern that really seems to get you. I think it's just the absolute, you know, your body keeps pulling back and saying, okay, that's enough. And you tell your body, no, we're only a quarter of the way in. And then, you know, we're only half the way in. And so it's a consistent heavy push that you normally wouldn't do on a regular basis. I mean, my longest training runs are 50, 60, 70 kilometers. And, you know, compare that to on race day, when you end up running, you know, 250 kilometers. I mean, that's a ridiculous number. That's a ridiculous jump. Because in marathoning, you know, for those guys who are running 42 kilometers, their longest training runs are normally, you know, 34, 36 kilometers, which isn't that far off of what they're going to do on race day.
What does nutrition look like leading up to an event like this?
Eat some more. I think that you kind of want to gain some weight before going into an event like this, because you are going to be feeding off your body's fat stores. Really, I try to eat as healthy as I can. Also knowing that I'm going to see that cheeseburger or have that beer, because I'm just the same as everybody else. We want what we want, but just eat as much good food as possible and eat what you normally eat. If I eat a lot of fish or a lot of green leafy vegetables or a lot of rice, you know, just continue eating what you eat. I find a lot of people, they think, oh, I never eat pasta, but then the night before a race, I'm going to eat this massive pasta dinner because everybody seems to do that. And then you have this bowel distress going into the day and you realize, wow, why am I in so much pain, or why am I throwing up during the event? It's like, it's because you threw something into your body that you're not normally doing on a regular basis. So just, you know, maintain your regular rhythm when it comes to food.
Now, I understand there's a good number of ultra runners that are vegan. Is that fair to say?
You bet, a lot. What I would even say well over half.
And have you considered this?
I have, but I really enjoy meat. I really do, and I find meat is a plentiful source of a lot of nutrients, and it gives you a lot of bang for your buck. And I really enjoy it. I do understand that you, by making concerted effort of going vegan and consuming a lot of the items and the products that you know, to increase your protein, increase your fat levels, and on and so forth. Fat's pretty easy because it's mostly oils, which I enjoy, and I use a lot of oils in my diet. But it makes more of a concerted effort. As well, too, I've got a family of three kids, and, you know, to try to get them on, you know, let's face it, normally if I'm going vegan, they're going to be going vegan as well, too. To get them on that similar diet just takes a lot of jumping through hoops. And, you know, I just don't really have the time in my life right now to go ahead and push for that type of diet. But, you know, I know a lot of my friends who say, you know, I can't believe that anybody could run, you know, successfully and, you know, eat animal protein because of, and they spout out all the negatives of doing so. You know, some of the best runners I know eat animal protein. And so, you know, I think that there is a big scare out there when it comes to eating animal products. But yet, you know, some of the most successful ultra runners I know are still eating animal protein, and they seem to be doing okay with it.
Tell me what nutrition looks like during a 24-hour run.
A lot of eating. I have been experimenting with, you know, I like real food. I know a lot of people, they'll take all their calories in with their drinking. They'll only stick to one type of food because that one type of food works well for them. I will eat anything under the sun, but I normally stick to a diet where I will consume fructose, and then I'll go and eat, consume glucose, and back and forth, because those two carbohydrates use two different channels in your body to get processed. So you really don't want to bombard your system too much with only taking in one method of fueling. So my fructose is normally applesauce. I'll make it a whole heap load of applesauce before an event. Blueberries, bananas, you know, a fruit. My glucose is normally, I normally just stick to eating those bars. It's a, you know, granola bar product. It's mostly made of hemp seed, out from Lethbridge, Alberta. And, y'all eat, Stroop waffles. But a lot of the time y'all just want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or, you know, a quarter of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
So are you actually eating a sandwich while you're running?
Yes. Yeah, you bet. Yeah. So, you know, that's why I like bananas, because they're super easy to take with you, you know, a handful of blueberries. You go back and forth. You eat every half an hour to maximize. Just you want to take in a little bit of food, but you're consistently eating for all 24 hours or all the 100-mile race that you're doing. And then every once in a while, I'll throw in beef jerky. And that really is quite tasty. It's quite salty. You can leave it in your cheek. You can gnaw away at it little bit by little bit. And it gives you that extra little bit of protein that I think that a lot of people look past when running an event like this, that you think, oh, no, I don't need my protein during this event. Well, you are out there for 16, 20, 24 hours. You know, protein is still needed during that time period.
When you're training for a run, is there any type of fitness? Are you involved in a fitness program leading up to that run or race, or do you do anything like that for part of your lifestyle?
I don't have a coach, so I don't have a running program. I've got control issues, and ask my wife about that. And really, when it comes down to my what I want to do for training and how I want to prep for a race, you know, I've got very little control in my life because I've got three kids and on and so forth. And this is how I take control. And I think if I had a coach that told me, Dave, you've got to get out for a 52-kilometer run today, I would say, I don't feel like doing that. So I would probably do the opposite, which is counterproductive. So I've never jotted down what I need to do to get out and train. But yet, I'll almost always do it. I'll always get in, you know, 100-mile training race, training weeks, 120-mile training weeks, get in my speed, get in my hill training, whatever event's coming up, you know, you do what's necessary to succeed at that event. But yeah, no, when it comes to having a written out plan or a coach telling me what to do, I think, you know, people succeed with different methods. A lot of people need that coach to tell them what to do, and they will do it. I'm the opposite. I feel that repels me a little bit. And as long as you're held accountable by yourself, And by your race results, I don't see that there's anything wrong with that.
And what about resistance training? Do you do any kind of weights, push-ups, any of that?
Exactly. Yeah, you bet. I'll do little bits of weight training. I never really ever sit down for an hour and do any resistance training or any weight training. On occasion, I'll do 45 minutes or an hour of plyometrics because I find that it's really good, especially for trail running and mountain training. But whenever I'm cooking in the kitchen, kids are always walking in and saying, "Dad, what are you doing?" I'm on the ground doing a plank.
While you're cooking. Doing some
Yeah, exactly. Wall sits. They'll say, "Dad, what are you doing?" Just into a wall sit. And they'll normally come over and sit beside me or walk underneath my legs like I'm a bridge or something. They think I'm kind of ridiculous like that. And I think they're right. But just the use of your time. You say, "Hey, the water's boiling for this. I've got 3 minutes." That's a good wall time.
What is Mito Canada?
Yeah, so Mito Canada is an organization I've been doing a lot of work with the last several years. I'm going to be doing a lot more work with them in the upcoming months here, leading up into the Calgary Marathon, but I'll get to that in a second. Mito Canada raises money and creates a lot of awareness for families and children who are afflicted with a number of mitochondrial diseases. Mitochondrial disease essentially is the inability for the every single cell in the human body to perform its regular functions, and so therefore you normally have parts of the body, the liver, kidneys, spinal cord, brain, going through its number of issues, and unfortunately it's a terrible disease that normally affects children. This past week, we've moved forward with an initiative to do our next fundraiser, and it's going to be, in fact, at the Calgary Marathon Race Expo on May 27th and 28th, in which myself, potentially Alyssa St. Laurent, and three other treadmills, a team of 12 men and a team of 12 women, and then another female, are going to be running on these treadmills for 24 hours straight. Me and Alyssa St. Laurent are most likely going to be running on the treadmill for 24 hours straight, trying to break the Guinness World Record for longest distance traveled on a treadmill in 24 hours, both male and female. And the other treadmills are going to be trying to break the Guinness World Records for the team events. Yeah, we're super excited about this. We have started doing all of our PR work with the Calgary Herald, CBC Radio, and it's only going to even get more intense from here. In Italy, I end up running 257.093 kilometers, the record that I want to break at the Calgary Marathon Race Expo. Is 257.88 kilometers, so only 800 meters further, but it is run on a treadmill. So I'm not quite sure if that's easier or if it's harder, or I think it's mentally harder. I think it's going to be an extreme push mentally, although I'm going to have a lot of my friends there, all those other super fast guys killing it on a treadmill for 2 hours each. But really, in mind, we are raising money. We're creating awareness for Mito Canada. Hopefully we can be raffling off. This is still in the works, but we're hoping to raffle off a few of the treadmills that we're going to be running the event on. Very, very, very nice treadmills. And so hopefully we can sell a bunch of raffle tickets to raise money for Mito Canada as well too. But really in our minds are going to be on children with rare diseases and mitochondrial disease. And, when you look at these poor kids and these poor families in wheelchairs, having a hard time moving, having a hard time breathing, the simple fact that, they can't run and we can use our mitochondria and every single cell of our body, our energy stores, we can use our mitochondria to push ourselves to doing some pretty cool things. And these children just can't. They don't even have the option. I can guarantee you that a little boy, like Evan Penny, Blaine Penny's son, if he could run just like his father, he would never stop. But yet on the other hand, we can, but we just choose not to. And I think that's a travesty. So that's going to be our effort on May 27th and 28th, is to break a bunch of these Guinness World Records. Keeping these special needs kids in mind.
What's it like to, attempt to break a Guinness world record.
I feel like I can do it, but I also feel, on the other hand, it seems like it's a insurmountable mountain. I mean, it's to think that nobody's ever run over 258 kilometers on a treadmill. It's going to be a significant push. It's going to feel pretty amazing the moment that I start getting close, or the moment that it ends up happening. I'll feel extremely proud that I was firstly given the opportunity from Mito Canada and the Calgary Marathon Management Group to do this. Yeah, you know, to have my family at the side, you know, to have you know, my son Sam, who's dealing with his own you know, rare disease, and hopefully we will soon be finding out what he ends up what he has by my side during that event. You know, I'll be so proud of them. They'll be so proud of me. I mean, it'll be a magical moment, I think.
I suppose it's worth noting that you're not just running. Like, this isn't a casual run that you're trying to run for 24 hours. You're actually going to be running 5 minutes and 30 seconds per kilometer. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So that's going to have to be the average pace. So, I mean, in any 24-hour event, there's a natural slope that occurs. You start off running at 4 minutes and 45 seconds or 5 minutes per kilometer pace. 100 kilometers, 100 miles in, there's that slope that occurs. Normally, it's a 10% slope that happens in the back 12 hours than what you run in the first 12 hours. And so, on average, I'm going to have to run a 5 minute and 30 second per kilometer pace. That's a sub, well below us. I think it's a 3 hour and 50 minute marathon, over six marathons back to back to back to back to back. And so it's going to be a push. I mean, you're gonna see an ugly face. I'll be grinding forward. There's not going to be a lot after there at the end. There's going to be a dead brain and just a significant push. And so yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's not just a nice easy going fundraiser. It's gonna take on a life of its own at the end, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I look forward to hearing how it goes if I don't get a chance to come there myself, and I'm not too far away, so that's something I'd be interested in checking out.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And curiosity kills a cat, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Dave, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your time and your information with us. I really enjoyed this interview. So all the best in your runs to come and in your Guinness Book of World Records. I really hope, you know, it goes the best as it possibly can for you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Drew.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Transformations Through Running. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of the community we're building here. More details are at trueformlife.com, where you can find all our past shows. We're also on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, which you could be very well listening to now. However, if you want to go back or if you're changing platforms, you're welcome to check out those as well. We'd love it if you subscribe to the show on iTunes, if you followed us on Spotify, and I'm not exactly sure what they call Stitcher's way of subscribing, if you will. At any rate, we'd love to connect on social media. You can find us on facebook.com/trueformlife. We're posting on a regular basis to keep you interested, motivated, staying on track with fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle. It's what we do. We also do fun giveaways. We do mini challenges and run contests too. So it'd be a great idea to jump on. We actually have a plank challenge coming up. I'm super excited about. People can't wait to get into that one. So if you're catching this at the time of release, you're welcome to shoot us a message and tell us you want to join us. And if you're coming on in the future, if you're listening to this in the future, we always have different types of challenges. We try to do one a month. So come and join us for 7 days or 10 days and see what that's like. We're also on Instagram.com/DrewTadia. We're posting on our story. We're putting up regular posts a couple times a day. So again, all directed towards your health and helping you live a healthier lifestyle. If we can help you at all, please shoot us a message. We're always happy to listen, help, reach out, whatever we can do. We're only a message away. And if you're in the running community, if you know anyone that would like to be interviewed, shoot us a message. Or if you'd like to be interviewed yourself, we'd love to talk and see if we could set that up. Once again, more details are at trueformlife.com. Thanks so much for being here, and hope to catch you on the next show.